Unfortunately, this is the last sheer in our series here. Maybe we'll start another one, but this is the last one for now. And because it's also the final day of Hanukkah, it's a very appropriate time in our series on the laws of tefillah and some ideas and insights into tefillah. It would make sense for us to talk about something which is so central to the laws of Hanukkah. So we turn to, I didn't put it on your sheet, but we turn to the last page where the Rambam describes the laws of Hanukkah. And there the Rambam tells us, in the fourth chapter of Hilchos Chanukah, Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. The Rambam tells us the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles is one which is most beloved. And how lucky we are that we have such a beautiful menorah here with eight candles to appreciate and to understand what Chanukah is all about. But Tzarech Adam Lehizarba, and a person has to make sure to pay attention and to perform the mitzvah to the best of their ability, Kedei Lahonia Hanes, in order to publicize the great miracle. That is really one of the important objectives of Hanukkah. And, says the Rambam, Ulohosid b'shvach hakel v'hodaya lo al hanisim sha'asa lanu. We have an obligation to also thank God for all of the great miracles that He performs for us. That is really one of the main objectives of what Hanukkah is all about. So, you said that we mentioned last week in the laws of Hanukkah that everyone should step up just a little bit more than they otherwise would. And you mentioned that this week you decided to step it up by going to shul every day and hearing Hallel with a minion. That is an amazing, amazing thing to hear. And I really, I appreciate your sharing that with me, because really when you think about it, that really is the most important job of what Hanukkah is supposed to mean to all of us. The most important part of Hanukkah is obviously to light the candles and to do the mitzvah that we are expected to do, but also, says the Rambam, to make time to thank God for all the miracles that we're blessed with in our lives. And that's why tonight, in honor of Hanukkah and in honor of our series on Tefillah, I would like to end the series by talking about this important idea of Hallel and Hodah, to understand Lahodo Sulahala. What is our job? What are we supposed to do? What should we be feeling? And how central, how important it is that we have this perspective on the forefront of our consciousness. We know that throughout the days of Hanukkah, we say the prayer of Al Hanisim. And in that prayer, we have something which is a very cryptic line. It's something we recite also in the bracha and the blessing that we recite before lighting the candles, which is Bayamim Ahem, Bazman Hazeh. We say to Hashem, Sha'as Anisim Labosenu, you perform miracles for our ancestors in their days, in their generations, so many thousands of years ago. Bazman Hazeh, what does it mean in our days? We're not experiencing these miracles. So what do we mean when we add in that extra line of Bayamim Ahem, Bazman Hazeh? And the answer to that can be found in one of the commentaries on the side of Shulchan Aruch when he explains that whenever we have an obligation to thank God and to commemorate a miracle that took place thousands of years ago, many generations ago to our ancestors, we also have to use that as an opportunity to recognize and to highlight all of the miracles that we experience every day, Bazman Hazeh, in our times as well. And therefore on Hanukkah, a person has to make time not only to think about and to tell their children and their families and to talk in their communities about everything that happened thousands of years ago in the days of the Chashmonaim and in the Beis Hamikdash, but also, and sometimes that is more difficult for us, to think more deeply about all the great miracles that we are blessed with to experience every day and every moment of our lives. And that's something that I think is worthy of our attention. As we know in davening, we make sure to make mention of this every single day, every tefillah. And therefore, let's try to get a little bit of an appreciation for what Hallel Vehoda is supposed to mean to all of us. So we begin with the Medrash in the very beginning of the Torah. And there the Torah says, the very first pasuk, Bereshis bara Elokim. Loosely translated, in the beginning, God created the world. Now, the Medrash understands that there is not only the regular meaning to this pasuk, but there is also an added level of meaning, a secondary interpretation that one can derive from the pasuk as well. Bereshis doesn't just mean in the beginning, but the Medrash comments it also means Bishvil Reshis, that the justification, the only reason why God created the world was because of Reshis. Now, what is this Reshis that we don't really know how to define? So the Medrash suggests three different ideas. Number one, says the Medrash, maybe it's referring to the Jewish people. The justification for the creation of the world was because someday there would come a time when there would be a Jewish people, and they are referred to as Reshis, because the Pasuk says, where we refer to as Reshis, I forgot already. I don't remember. The pasuk refers to us as Reshis, and therefore the Torah says This was the good enough justification for the world to have been created because there would become a time when there would be a Jewish people. Secondly, says the Medrash, maybe the reason why the world was created is because Bishvil Torah Shenikra Reishis. As we know, we say the Pasuk, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The Torah is referred to as Reishis as well, and that was the sole purpose why the world was created. But finally, the Medrash says, perhaps the reason why the world was created is because we have a mitzvah of Bikurim. And Bikurim is also referred to as Reishis. Now, I challenge you. If you would ask any random person who has an appreciation for what all the mitzvahs in the Torah actually are, and you would say, what is the most important mitzvah? I assume nobody would say Bikurim. So why is it that the Medrash writes that the most important thing and the reason why the world was created is simply because we have a mitzvah of Bikurim? Now, what exactly is the mitzvah of Bikurim? So every year when the produce grows, a farmer has to take the very first fruits, bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash, bring it up to the temple, and offer it to the Kohanim who are doing service there. So really, is that the most important mitzvah? There seem to be other things that are so much more fundamental. Shabbos is something that we make sure that everybody keeps exactly to all the details of how it's supposed to be kept. And there are so many other things that seem to be so much more prominent and so much more important. So what does it mean? God created the world, Bishvil Reishis, which is a reference to Bikurim. What is that all about? And many suggest that perhaps the understanding to that is that Bikurim is all about giving thanksgiving to God. Appreciating and understanding that everything that we've been blessed with, that everything that we see, all the bounty in our lives, really is deserving back to Him. That's what we do when we separate the very first fruits and give them back to Him. And therefore the world was created for the sole purpose of human beings having the ability to highlight the kindnesses of God and to thank Him for them. That's really why we're all here. Now, if you think this is just a nice medrash, this is something that really we find in the Ramban. The Ramban, one of the most important medieval commentaries, the Ramban has a commentary on Chumash. And in that commentary on Chumash, the Ramban gives us so many important insights into how to extrapolate from the text all of the very significant ideas that one needs to know as a practicing Jew. But here the Ramban makes a comment which is, in my opinion, a very striking comment. So the Ramban tells us, if you were able to boil down all of the various aspects of the Torah that we are instructed to abide by, if you would ask a person, what is the objective of everything that you do in life? It's a very difficult question to answer. The Ramban says, no, it's a very simple question to answer. So what does that mean?
Well, that's
bringing sanctity into the world. That's what you're saying. Kiddush Hashem.
And glorifying God. It's really helping the world to recognize God.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, all the good things that come out of that. So, I mean, otherwise...
I'm glad you mentioned that point, because before we move on to the point I was just making, I made an observation in shul yesterday. It wasn't my own. It's something I mentioned in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, and I think it's a very powerful insight. Now that we're on the last day of Hanukkah, it might not help us that much, but for next year, we know that we say every day in our davening, you can still think about it if you didn't daven Ma'ariv tonight or tomorrow morning in Shachris or Mincha, we say, Bimei Matasyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. We have a whole paragraph in which we recount the whole story of the miracle of Hanukkah. And in it we say, Ravta es Rivam, Danta es Dinam, Narkamta es Nikmasam, you are the one who fought on our behalf, you are the one who stepped up, you are the one who did everything on behalf of the Jewish people at the time who found themselves in a very precarious state. And that's what we thank God for. At the very end of the paragraph we say, Ve'achar kein, and after all that was over, and the miracle happened, and the war was won, and we were victorious in battle, all because of God, and we recognize that. Ve'achar kein, and after all of that, Bo banecha ledvir beisecha, your children, our ancestors, came into the temple. Ufinu esecha lecha, they cleaned everything out. Ve'tiaru es migdashecha, and they were able to purify all of the vessels that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is also a very important part of the story. Now, Seder of Soloveitchik, why don't we say, and after that, God purified His holy, sacred temple, and He allowed us to come back in. Seder of Soloveitchik, no. Because as much as we understand that God is the one who wages war for the Jewish people, and God is the reason for all of our successes, one must never make the mistake and think that God is also going to be the one to sanctify the world. That is the job that He left to all of us. I'm going to perform miracles. I'll do everything for you. But now I'm making the world prepared for you to come. Va'achar kein bo banecha. Now you're going to march into the temple with your children, and you are going to be the one to add sanctity into this world, because that's what a Jew does. We don't sit with our feet up and wait for God to do it himself. We understand and we appreciate the fact that our job in this world is to add sanctity in every corner of the world, in every experience that we can possibly have. And that is something that is highlighted in the special paragraph that we say every night of Hanukkah, every day of Hanukkah, Ba'achar kein bo banecha, after all the great miracles that we experienced, we came in and we were the ones who added sanctity into the temple and we were the ones who infused it with all that holiness, because that is our job and that is always our job. But says the Ramban, more fundamentally, if you were able to boil down all of the 630 mitzvahs to one objective, to one perspective, what is it all about? So he says, number one, we need to have a baseline belief. Shenamin be'elokeinu. We need to believe in God. Obviously, if you don't believe in God, then there's no reason to follow anything that he instructed you to do. So obviously, the first baseline idea that one always needs to be aware of is Shenamin be'elokeinu, says the Ramban. You got to first believe in God. But after that, after we get over that hurdle, which obviously we need to, then says the Ramban, you want to know what everything else is? Vinoda elav shehu bera'ano. You want to know what all religious experience boils down to? They are all just opportunities for us as human beings to give thanks and to be grateful to God for creating us. That's what it's all about. And here the Ramban writes, this is what the Jewish experience is meant to be throughout the year. Just many, many various opportunities for an individual to find a place in which he or she can highlight how grateful they are to God. That's really what all the mitzvahs are about, says the Ramban. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yitzira harishona. This is number bays. Number two, there is no other reason why we were all created. Rather, he says, the only reason is that we should have the opportunity, v'yoda le'lokav shebaro, that we should have the opportunity to thank God and to highlight all of the kindness that he bestows upon all of us throughout our lives. And this is something which is a very powerful comment of the Ramban. So much so that we have in next week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayechi, that Yaakov Avinu calls around all of his children to the bedside before he passes away. And he gives a very specific instruction for each one of them based on their specific personality, based on their capabilities and their specific way of life. And he calls in Yehuda and he says, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha. Yehuda, you're special because your brothers will yoducha. What does that mean? How do you translate that in Hebrew? Your brothers will thank you? They will acknowledge you for what? What did Yehuda ever do in his life that is worthy of acknowledgement? We don't have any indication that he's worthy of being acknowledged more so than any of the other Shvatim, than any of the other tribes. So what does it mean, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha? Explains one of the important commentaries on Chumash, the Targum Yonasan. What it means is, we have 12 tribes. So really, if I come from the tribe of Reuven, I should go down in history as being a Reuveni. I'm from the tribe of Reuven. Or if I'm from the tribe of Shimon, I should go down in history as a Shimoni. So what does it mean that we're all called Yehudim? Why are we all referred to as members of the tribe of Judah? What do we have to do with Yehuda? I don't emanate from him. He's not my ancestor. I come from one of his brothers.
But his very name signifies what?
So the answer is that Jews are all about Yehudim. Yehuda's name is Hoda'ah, which means we are thankful, we are grateful, and that is what we're all about, and that's what it means. Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha, you're going to go down in history as the one that all the Jewish people will refer to themselves as, because that's really what the most important job of a Jew is supposed to be. To make time throughout life to be grateful, and to understand and appreciate that God is always here for us. And this is really, in essence, what we say every Shabbos. In our davening, right before Baruch Hu, we say, Shekein chovas kol hayitzurim. This is the obligation of every living human being. Lehodos, lahalel, leshabeach, lefoer, leromeim. This is our obligation, this is our duty, to give it back to God and to say thank you. And this is the opportunity that we have, not only on Hanukkah, but really throughout the religious experience that we have every moment and every day of our lives. Yes, question. In just 2 weeks' time, we're going to begin to read the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. And there in the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're told, thank you, that he's growing up in the palace. And Moshe Rabbeinu at one point has some sort of uncomfortable problem with the local Egyptians, and he has to run away. And because of that, while he's a fugitive, he ends up in Midian. And he finds himself in this unknown country, an unknown land, and like all good stories in Chumash, he ends up at the well. And at the well, he meets a bunch of women who are being abused, who are being taken taken advantage of, and he decides he's going to defend them and he's going to take care of them. Now, what happens after all of that? He ends up going into the home of Yisro, and Yisro ends up giving him one of his daughters to marry, and they live happily ever after, and it's wonderful, until God comes back to him, and they have their first encounter. And God meets up with him at the Sneh. And on that experience of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu has the opportunity to speak with him, and the Medrash tells us they have a 7-day-long conversation that goes back and forth, where God asks him, I would like you to be the one to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, he gives all kinds of excuses. Lo ish devar manochi, I don't have self-confidence, I don't know how to speak, and I'm not the right one, and I'm not righteous enough. And the Medrash expands on this conversation and goes on and on and on about what happened. And God finally says, look, it's been 7 days, enough. You're going to end up going anyway. I'm going to have my way whether you like it or not. So let's just stop the arguing and you're going to go. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, if that's the way you want it to be, then that's what it's going to be. I'll stop arguing with you. However, he says, I'm not able to go yet. What do you mean you're not able to go yet? We just discussed this for the last 7 days. Finally, you're agreeing to me that this is the right thing to do. Someone's got to save the Jewish people from Egypt. It's going to be me, God says. So Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean you can't go yet? What does it mean? What are you waiting for now? What's holding you back? So the Medrash tells us something that is absolutely astounding. Look at the bottom of the page, number Vav, where the Medrash says the following. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe goes, Vayashav El Yeser Chosno. After 7 days of negotiating, so to speak, with God, 7 days of trying to figure out whether or not he's going to be the one for the job, Moshe Rabbeinu then turns backwards and goes back to the home of his father-in-law Yisro. Says the Medrash, let's read it together. When God instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, and he told him, and now I would send you, and you are the one who's being chosen because you're the right one, and I want you to go down to Paro and negotiate with him. Amarlo, Moshe Rabbeinu responds to him, and he says, Ribon Ha'olamin, Master of the Universe, Eini Yachal, I'm sorry. As much as I understand that this is what you want, and as much as I admit that I'm going to do it, right now I cannot go. What do you mean you can't go? There are millions of Jews who are waiting for you. Mipnei shekiblani Yisro. Because my father-in-law, when I was a fugitive, and I had nowhere to go, and I was uncomfortable in this community, this man named Yisro took me into his house. Ve'ani imo keben, and he treated me like a son. Umishahu poseach pischo lachavero, and someone who offers a good deed to their friend, nafsho chayevlo, I owe my life to that person. I owe my life to that person. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eini holech ele b'rishuso. God, I know the mission is very important. And I know and I fully understand that this is something I'm going to have to do. But I cannot go before I ask permission of he who I owe a debt of gratitude to. After all that he did for me. And it might be a very important mission. And it might be the most historic mission in the history of the Jewish people. But it doesn't matter. My first and my primary obligation is to be grateful to the person who provided for me. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says, the entire people will be on hold. Because I need to go and say thank you to my father-in-law. Now, every Shabbos we say in our davening, based on a Gemara Maseches Brachos, that God is referred to as Hamuhulol Birov HaTishbachos. God is the one who we offer most of our praise to. What does it mean that we offer most of our praise to? Why don't we offer Him all of our praise? Don't we owe Him everything that we have in our lives? So what does it mean that He's Muhulol Birov HaTishbachos? And in fact, the Gemara says that God is also referred to as Kel HaHodos, as the God who is the God who we praise, which sounds like we give Him 100% of what He's deserving of. So what does it mean that on the one hand He is the God who deserves everything, but on the other hand we only offer Him Rov HaTishbachos? Rav Soloveitchik suggested the answer is very simple. He says if a person's going to go through life and just have the perspective and just have the attitude that everything that I have in my life is solely because God gave it to me. And nobody else helped me, and nobody else did anything for me, and I'm only going to have a communication with God and thank Him for that which He provided me with, and I understand fully that everything is Him, they will ultimately become such an ingrate that they will not even remember in the end to thank God himself. And therefore, he says, we have an obligation that although we understand that there are many people along the way in our lives who do assist us, but ultimately they were all sent by God. So yes, a doctor cures us, and we say, what do you mean? But God allowed them to cure. And whoever it is that helps us out, you can say, but God sent them my way, and therefore it's not really them. But if we don't get ourselves accustomed, as much as that's true, if we don't get ourselves accustomed to being grateful people to those who are around us, even though God may have set up the system, we ultimately will come to deny the gratefulness that we're supposed to be feeling toward God himself. How do we know that that is true? We have two examples of this scenario, of this phenomenon. One is in these parshios that we read now in the end of Sefer Bereishis, we have the story of Yosef. And Yosef was in the pit, and as we all know, he gets taken out. Paro has a dream. Yosef interprets the dream, and he tells them that as a result of his interpretation, they need to have a whole economic plan. And they follow the plan. And in the end, Yosef is the one who saves the entire Egypt from absolute destruction. Yosef is the one responsible. What do we learn in Parsha Shemos? Life moves on. Yosef dies. Vayakam melech chadash al Mitzrayim. A whole new king comes along, takes over the country. Asher lo yada es Yosef. Doesn't even know Yosef. What do you mean he doesn't know Yosef? The Medrash asks. Can you imagine if we had a president of this country who didn't ever hear of Thomas Jefferson? How could it be? Can we ever have a president of this country who never heard of George Washington? It's impossible. How can you not know? Again, doesn't mean every American citizen has to know. We should. But if you're the one who's running the country, how can you not know the basic history and the one who just was the hero of the story of your people? How can you not be aware? Well, says the Medrash, he decided to block him out of his memory. He had no interest in being beholden to Yosef. So he just blocked him out and said, well, we had a period of time when we had a leader. We don't know anything about him. Let's move on. Selective memory. Writes the Medrash commenting on that story. Kalat kofer betovaso shel chavero. If a person starts by being an ingrate to human beings who have done wonderful things for them, lesof kofer betovaso shel makom. That will lead a person in the end to deny the existence of God himself. Now, how do we know this, says the Medrash? This is how it starts. Paro decides he's going to have selective memory. He's going to block Yosef out of the picture. We don't have to be grateful to him. He didn't do anything for our country. He didn't help us at all. Blocks him out, and ultimately, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to negotiate with him, and he says, you know, Ko Amar Hashem, God said that you should let the Jews out, he says, Lo Yadati Es Hashem, I don't even know who God is. Says the Medrash, that's where it all starts. If you fail to recognize the people in your life who you owe the gratitude to, it will ultimately lead to a lack of recognition of God himself, who we all owe the greatest debt of gratitude to, because we need to get ourselves accustomed to this ability to thank those who have done wonderful things for us in our lives. Not only that, there's another example of this, and this comes from the very first story in the very first parsha of Sefer Bereishis. So we have the 6 days of creation. And we have on the sixth day, God creates man. Then he realizes, Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. God makes the ultimate kindness to Adam HaRishon. He decides, well, it's pretty lonely to walk around the world by yourself, isn't it? So he decides he's going to create a woman who is going to be a companion for Adam HaRishon. And so it is. What happens on that very day? They have some sort of problem. And Adam HaRishon falls and he eats from the Eitz Hadas. And God confronts him and he says, excuse me, didn't I tell you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas? And he says, what do you mean? Ha'isha shenasati, it's all your fault, God. Why? Because you gave me this horrible woman. I didn't ask for it. And because you put this onto my radar screen and you put her into my life, now I ended up making mistakes, so it's all you. So he denies God the access, he denies God the opportunity of saying, thank you, you put a wonderful woman into my life, and life has never been the same as it was, like it is right now. However, we both made a mistake. That's not what he does. His approach is, he says to God, I'm not grateful for anything you did, life is horrible, I'm not happy with anything. That's what he says. A couple of psukim later, we have the story that we refer to as the Dar HaHaflaga. What is the Dar HaHaflaga? That is the generation of people who decided that they were going to rebel against God himself. Now, how does the Torah refer to the Dar HaHaflaga? You know what the Torah calls them? when telling us about the story of these people who built a tower, tried to defeat God himself, the Torah refers to these people as B'nai Ha'adam. Says the Medrash, what does it mean they're referred to as B'nai Ha'adam? Explains the Medrash, these are those children of that awful person who started off not being grateful to God for the gift that he was given. And that's where it all starts. It starts with that little bit of lack of appreciation for how grateful you need to be. And it ultimately leads to a lack of an appreciation that there's actually a God at all. That's two different stories in Chumash, but both of them teach us the same lesson. And instead of Soloveitchik, this is why. When we refer to our praise to God, we say, we understand that everything in life is really you. But we only offer you Hamuhulal Birov HaTishbechos. We only offer you most of our thanksgiving because we reserve some of it for the human beings that are in our life, that influence our lives, that help us in our lives. Because if we don't do that, if we don't become accustomed to thanking those and to being grateful to the people who are around us for providing us with everything that they do, and the companionship and the friendship and everything that they give us, then it will lead us ultimately to deny the existence of God himself. And this is why we say to God, we understand everything is you, but we need to reserve a little bit for the human beings that we interact with. And this is exactly what we do. Now, we owe so much to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We owe so much thanksgiving to God himself. And even that which is obvious, there's certainly so much more that we don't even recognize. We don't even understand. Anybody here in the medical field? Right? So a person who is in the medical field understands how many things have to work properly in order for us to be the people who we are. Now, most of us just walk around all day, don't even think about it. But if you have a little bit of an appreciation for the body and a little bit of an understanding of what goes into the anatomy of a person and how many things have to work properly in order for that body to have the wonderful day that you are expecting to have, it's absolutely miraculous. We don't even begin to fathom, we don't even begin to understand the intricacies of how blessed we are, of how many gifts God bestows upon us every moment of our lives. But leaving even that aside, we have something that we say in Psukei DeZimra, and that is, Le'oseh Niflaos Gidolos Levado. We thank God because He is the one who does Niflaos Gidolos. He does incredible miracles. Levado by Himself. Now what does it mean? We thank you, God, for doing the miracles by yourself. Well, what was the option? He was going to do it with somebody else? We don't believe that there is anybody else in the picture. So what does it mean? We thank God and we highlight the fact that He is the one who does miracles by Himself. Says the Medrash, let's read it together. Top of the second side of the page, number Zion. What does it mean? Lo'oseh niflaos gidolos levado. V'chimishuhu acher asa imo davar shehu omer levado. Why do we have to say, we thank you God for doing the miracles by yourself and not having anyone help you out? Of course there was no one to help him out. What does it mean? Explains the Medrash, Ela levado yodea ma pla imose. That means, you God are the only one who actually understands how deep the miracles really are. You, God, are the only one who really understands how much blessing you bestow us with in our lives. Because we don't even have the ability to begin to have an understanding of how much we owe Him. And this is what we mean when we say, Le'oseh niflaos gidolos levado. You truly are the only one who can fully appreciate and understand how much you give to the human beings that are on this earth. They never really have a complete ability to fully comprehend and to fully appreciate what exactly it means. Now, not only do we not have the ability to fully appreciate and understand, but sometimes we even defy the word of God, and we still expect Him to provide us with everything. Look at the following medrash, number ches, number 8. Pasuk says, L'cha Hashem atzdaka, v'lanu boshes hapanim. You, God, are amazing, but we are ashamed of ourselves. Why are we ashamed? What does it mean? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lanu boshes hapanim shelecha atzdaka. Why? Yisrael ovrim bayam. We all know the story. The Jews were saved from Egypt. And they're marching through the sea, and God performs a miracle unprecedented. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And here they are marching through the sea, and God didn't think that was enough. He made sure to give them money, and they're laden with gold and silver on their way out. And he says, V'kaspo shel pesel micha over bayam. on the occasion of the greatest miracle that the human beings have ever seen in this world, the splitting of the sea, on that experience, on that occasion, as they're walking through the tunnel that was made for them in the middle of the water, they're holding gold and silver and saying, we can't wait to make this into the Pesel Micha. What's the Pesel Micha? That was the story that we read about in Sefer Shoftim, when the Jewish people constructed in Avodah Zarah an idol, and they began to worship it. Where did all that gold and silver come from? You know where? They were already planning it when they were walking through the sea. It's amazing. Astounding. God is performing the greatest miracle that the world has ever known. And on that occasion, we as His people not only have a lack of appreciation for that which He's doing, but we are defying His word at the very same time. And yet, guess what? God continues to take care of us. He continues to perform miracles, even though not only do we lack the proper appreciation, but we sometimes do the opposite. That's an amazing phenomenon. It's an unbelievable comment that the Medrash makes. You look at the next passage, and that is Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman. Ata motzi biyom sheyared haman liYisrael. On the days that the man was falling from heaven, on the days that we were experiencing miracles that we've never seen, who ever had the opportunity to have food just falling from heaven? You don't have to do anything to it. You don't have to work for it. Life is so easy. Life is so pleasurable. Life is amazing. On that very day, says the Medrash, Bo Bayom Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah. On that very same day, you went to pick up your man in the morning right outside your house. They just turned around right away and served Avodah Zarah. Amazing. Just unbelievable how blind a person can be. Look how easy God is making life for you. Look how amazing He's setting up the story of your life. Look what He's providing you with. He just brought you through the Yam Suf. He's giving you man. You have to do nothing for it. And you turn around on that very same day and serve Avodah Zarah. V'lo od, and not only that, Ela shenatlu mimenu v'hikrivu l'Avodah Zarah shelahem. Not only were they turning around and serving Avodah Zarah, but the Medrash says also, they turned around and served this man, this miraculous food, to the Avodah Zarah. Amazing. It's unbelievable. And I think so often about this Medrash because, okay, we would say to ourselves, I would never be so extreme. I mean, who could be so crazy? Really? Are we not all that very same Medrash? I hate to say it. How much does God give us in our lives? And we just turn around the same day, the same moment, that we understand how much He's giving us. And we say, all right, I got the favor, thank you very much. Now I'll move on to business as usual. And I'll talk all the Lashon Hara that I'm not supposed to be talking. And I'll cheat in business the way I'm not supposed to be cheating. And I'll do everything else that I'm doing on my level, for my problems that I have, for my challenges that I have in my own life. I'll just go about doing the things that I normally do, even though I experienced something almost as great as the man this morning. You know, I have someone that I know lives in our neighborhood, and I'm so amazed. Every time he talks to me, I see him. He's always obviously struggling with his parnasa. It's not obvious, but he happens to be struggling very often. And he always says to me, whenever I stop him in the street, I ask him, "Nu, how's parnasa? What's doing?" And he says, "I feel like man falls into my office every day. I have no idea how. I don't know how I get these customers. I have no idea how it works. I just feel like God drops man into my office every day." And it's such a beautiful perspective. Imagine if we all went through life thinking, it's like I have man dropping on my table every day. But that's really what we have. Everyone on their own level really has that. And it's such a great blessing. But we turn around and we take that man and we serve it to Avodah Zarah. The man that God gives us, not only are we living lives where we're not even grateful, we're not even appreciating that which He gives us, but we turn around and we throw it in God's face. It's an amazing phenomenon. It's an amazing thing, but it's not only the Jews of that generation. It's Jews in all generations. Because we lack this appreciation, we lack the understanding of how much, how profound our thanksgiving is meant to be to God Himself. I see we're almost out of time, so let's try to just wrap up with the following. We have a comment that is made in Chumash. When all of the wives of Yaakov Avinu are having children, So, how many Shvatim did Yaakov Avinu end up having? 12. Which meant each one of the wives was supposed to have 3. So what happens? Leah has one child, she has a second child, she has a third, and now she has a fourth. And what are we told? Leah was so overwhelmed when she has her fourth child. This is much more than I ever expected. How lucky I am to have the 3 and now to have a fourth? Whoever would have dreamt of such a thing? And therefore she says, Hapam Odes Hashem, I need to give thanksgiving to God because I got much more than I ever deserved, than I ever expected, than I ever dreamed of. Look at the pasuk on the bottom of the page, in which we're told, and she calls his name Al-Kohen Kara Shemo Yehuda. Because of this overwhelming sense of gratitude that she feels, she names her child Yehuda. So you know what that means. Every time he's playing in the sandbox, and she calls him Yehuda, I have to remind myself, why am I calling him Yehuda? And every time he's doing whatever he's doing, Yehuda, come for supper, supposed to remind her, Hapam Odes Hashem. It's like a built-in reminder. I'm just going to be thanking God every day of my life. It's amazing. So the Gemara says, this was the first person who really thanked God properly, was Leah. She made sure to set up a way in which she would remind herself all the time of how grateful she needs to be. But the end of the pasuk says, Vata mod miledes. On that occasion when Leah gives birth to this fourth child, and she names him Yehuda, giving it all back to God, now God suspends her ability to have any more children. Why? If you have somebody who gives such an appropriate response, who calls their child Yehuda, who builds in a system a way that they'll always remember that God is such a central focus of their lives and how grateful they need to be to Him all the time, if that's the perspective a person has, wouldn't God want to shower them with more blessings and just give them more? And say, you know what, I'll give you another 10 children. If this is the attitude you have, why does God take away her ability to have any future children? One of the commentaries on Chumash writes, such a profound insight. He says, sometimes God gives us something special in life. And we say thank you. And we say to ourselves, now everything's great. And now I'm content, and now I'll coast. And now we can check you out of the picture, because now life is fine. And we fail to recognize that going forward, in order for us to continue to appreciate and understand the bounty that God provides us with, we need to have Him holding our hand in the future as well. You can't just check out after the blessing that He's given you. Leah here says, God, I'm so overwhelmed by everything you've given me. It's such an amazing experience. She names her child Yehuda. Thank you very much. Check out. Vatamod miledes. Really? That's what you feel? Guess what, God says. I'm going to show you what happens when I don't continue to be the one who's running the course of events in your life. I'm going to suspend your ability to have future children. Contrast this with the response of Rachel Imenu. Rachel waits a long time to have children. And everybody else around her is able to have a family. And now she finally has this long-awaited child, Yosef. Why does she call him Yosef? Asaf Elokim Escher Pasi. God has now made sure that I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm going to have that which I deserve. And she names him Yosef, says the Pasuk, Lomar, to say, Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. What does it mean? I name my child Yosef because I'm asking God at this time that He should please bless me with another child. How strange is that? Give yourself 5 minutes to appreciate that which God just gave you. What are you already asking for another kid? Why is she doing that? And the answer is because that's the way a Jew thinks. God has no shortage of blessings that He can send down to the world. And we as Jews understand that the only way we'll ever have bounty, the only way we'll ever have anything worthwhile in life is if God is the one who provides it for us. Because there's no other way it can happen. And we all know that life can be so fickle. And life can change in a moment's notice. And without the grace of God Himself, there is no way we can ever continue to have the blessed lives that we have. And this is why Rachel Imenu, immediately upon having this great blessing of being granted a child, immediately says, thank you very much, I hope I have another one. Because I know that you're the only one who can give me another one. And I know that you're the only one who can give me satisfaction in my life, and without you, I will have nothing. You ever think about in Hallel, which we recite every day of Hanukkah, we spend so much time recounting the miracles, B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, all the things that happened when the Jews came out of Egypt, and all the generations of great miracles that we've been through. That's what we talk about in Hallel. David HaMelech so eloquently sets up everything about Jewish history, and he tells us what we should be thankful for. All of a sudden, right in the middle of everything, we say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Why is that in the middle of Hallel? That seems not to fit at all. And the answer is because it's an incomplete Hallel if you don't also highlight at the same time that you're thanking God and you say to Him, I understand that everything that we've experienced until this point is because of you. And I'm grateful to you for everything we have, but Ana Hashem Hoshiana, I understand that I also need to ask that you continue to shower us with love. Because if you don't, everything that we just spoke about won't exist. Our lives will not be able to continue without your guiding hand, without your loving embrace. It's just not going to happen. And this is why it's such an integral part of what Hallel is all about, not just to make sure that we're grateful, not just to say, thank you for everything that I have in my life, not only to say, Bayamim Ahim, great miracles took place thousands of years ago, Bizman Hazeh, we have great miracles that take place today, but to highlight also, we need to look forward into the future. And we need to understand and we need to remind ourselves that going forward also, it is only if God Himself is the one who's going to continue to sustain us and to provide us with everything that we have. Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, only then will we be able to have the lives that we so much look forward to having and experiencing. And this is when we culminate a celebration of Hanukkah. It is a time for us, like the Gemara says, Lahodos Ulahalo, to be grateful not only for the things that happened so long ago, but to make time throughout this celebration of Hanukkah also to remind ourselves that there is so much blessing that we experience every day of our lives. Anisecha shebechol yom imanu. Literally every single day, every moment of our lives, we have so much to be grateful for. And at the same time that we do that, we continue to pray to God, Adheina azaruna rachamecha. You have helped us until this point. V'lo azavunu chasadecha, you have never shortchanged us from this incredible gift of blessing that you give all of us. But we also ask Him, V'al techenu Hashem Elokeinu lanetzach. Don't ever forget that for all eternity we expect that you will continue to shower us with all of that blessing. Because without it, v'tamod miledes. Without it, our lives would be nothing. Without your involvement, and without your guidance, and without all of your blessing, our lives amount to a whole bunch of nothing. So we thank you for the opportunity, we say to God, for everything that we have. And we highlight and we recognize everything that you've given us. And we pray for the future that you will continue to sustain us, that you will continue to bless us, that you will continue to give us everything that we so much look forward to and so much need throughout the duration of our lives. Once again, I wish everyone a Freilich and Chanukah.